Morning, church. Not sure what happened to our slide. There we go. All right, good deal. Well, it's good to see everybody. It's good to be home. Good to be back with you. Appreciate Rob filling in on Easter. I heard he did a great job. My parents were here, and they gave him a big two thumbs up, and that's a big deal, so I appreciate that. And I understand last week that the police were looking for me, but I was out of the country, so... I heard about that, and but I also heard that Michael did a wonderful job. Michael, we're very blessed to have you. Thank you for using your talents to serve God. We appreciate that very much. Thank you. You know, this morning, we're going to continue talking about being considered Christians, and we've talked about this in 2019. What does it mean to consider others' needs above your own? What does it mean to be considerate in the eyes of God and considered among other people? And just to recap what we've talked about since it's been a few weeks, we talked about first how considerate Christians are to love and pray for their enemies, which isn't always easy to do. We talked about how considerate Christians are to be humble, how they handle disagreements with each other, how they're to be patient and forgiving. We talked about how considerate Christians are to be gentle in the way they deal with others, how they work together, even despite all of our differences, for the common cause of Christ. We talked about how considerate Christians are to be generous. You know, God's character is a character of generosity, and he expects us to be generous with what he's given us. We talked last time about witnessing. Considerate Christians are to witness to others about Jesus. And today we're going to talk about prayer. Considerate Christians are to pray for one another. Do you like it when people pray for you? Absolutely. You know, there's no... It's just very calming and very reassuring and very faith-building to hear a brother or sister tell you, I'm praying for you. I know you're struggling. I know what you're going through. One of the most common prayers we pray is a prayer of intercession. It's where we go to God on behalf of somebody else, and we do this for all kinds of reasons. We do it for health reasons. We do it for emotional issues, relationship problems, temptations, sin. The list goes on and on. But Galatians 6:2 tells us, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Prayer is one of the ways that we can carry each other's burdens. If I'm carrying something around, it's a burden on me. It is a weight on me. But if I tell Ed about it and we pray about it, he's helping me carry that burden to God the Father. Prayer is one way that we show each other we care. You know, in the moments of the greatest fear and anguish Jesus was facing, he prayed, and he encouraged his disciples to pray. Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would all be what? One. He prayed for unity. We know from the New Testament, Jesus is our intercessor. And we also see in 1 Timothy, Paul tells us to pray for all people. And what Jared just read for us, James tells us to pray so people will be healed. Considerate Christians are to pray for one another. And this is a love one another moment, I call it. This is an opportunity for us to show our brothers and sisters that we care, that we love them. You know, as Jesus entered Jerusalem the Sunday before his crucifixion, what's that day called? Fern Sunday, right, Steve? Fern Sunday. If you were here on Palm Sunday, you know that. Steve couldn't find palm leaves, so he brought up a fern. So it's Fern Sunday. But as Jesus rode in, it was a huge entry. He entered in humility. He entered in grace. But he entered in love because he was about to become the sacrifice for sin, for all mankind. And as he goes to the temple, he enters through the golden gate. And he sees what? He sees the money changers ripping people off, robbing them blind, and he goes in and he turns over the money tables and he sets the animals free, and he reminds the people that this house of God, this temple, is to be used as a prayer house for God. He cleansed the temple of the greed and contempt and reminded them what they were supposed to be doing. The next day, the Jewish leaders challenged Jesus and they said, "By whose authority did you do that?" Of course, we know Jesus had all the authority. He's the Son of God. The ruling class, the Sadducees, they wanted Jesus dead, and the Pharisees, they wanted him to be quiet. After he'd silenced the Sadducees, The Pharisees asked him a question that all the teachers had regularly debated. You know what that question was? What is the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus tells them in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as what? Yourself. In other words, Jesus says, love God and love others. Be good to others. Care about others. Be concerned with the welfare of the people you're around. But you know, in the upper room, during the Passover meal, the Last Supper, Rob talked about this, in John 15, 12, Jesus tells his disciples, love as I have loved you. Wow. That's a tall order, church. Love as I have loved you. Have you ever thought about that command? Have you ever thought, this is a command, by the way. This isn't just something that's nice to do or a bonus. Jesus says, do this. Love as I have loved you. It's more than just loving our neighbors as ourselves. It's more than just being good or helping out where we can. But when we love as Jesus has loved us, that takes sacrifice, doesn't it? That takes laying it all on the line for our brothers and sisters. But it's not us just giving up something, because we receive that love in return from our brothers and sisters. Jesus says, love as I have loved you. There are many ways for us to love as Jesus has loved us. But today we're talking about prayer. And one huge way that we can love others as Jesus has loved us is to lift them up in prayer, right? To pray for them. To pray with them. Look around you this morning. You're surrounded by some pretty good people, aren't you? This is a good group of people. There's a lot of love in this family. There's a lot of people that are being helped. There's a lot of caring in this room. And so we're going to have just a few moments here. I want us to mingle. This is a little bit different, so don't get crazy on me here. But I want you to go to the people you're sitting next to, and I want you to share with them at least one way that they can pray for you this week. What's one thing, or as many things as you want, but at least what is one thing that you're dealing with that you could use the prayers of your brothers and sisters? Be as specific as you want. Be as vague as you want. But let's use this opportunity this morning just to tell each other good morning and share some ways that we can be in prayer. We'll take just a couple minutes to do this, okay? Okay. Has everybody got some stuff they can pray about this week? Got some material to pray with, pray for? Good deal. You know, it's not often until you just take the time to ask that question and listen that you truly understand or maybe get a glimpse of what people are dealing with. And that's a very important exercise for us to have, and it's a very important thing for us to do all the time. And it's a privilege to pray for one another, isn't it? Absolutely. And if you run out of people to pray for me. I can always use it, right? Also, you know, as you go about this week, let's make the commitment to pray for the people and the things that we've discussed. But also look at your bulletin. There's prayer concerns in there every week. Take a few minutes every day and just pray for those people. Pray for those situations. We have a very robust Facebook campaign. There's always something new on our Facebook page, things going on and things we can pray about. And if you're doing that, great, keep doing it. But if you've not, or if you've kind of gotten away from it, just make it your challenge this week and your goal to take time to pray for people and what they're dealing with. It's the only way we're going to make it, right? Consider Christians, pray for each other. So how do we pray for each other? I mean, this isn't going to be a lesson about the mechanics of prayer. But what are some ways that we can pray for one another? There are so many scriptures we can look at to know what to pray for or how to pray. But I want to spend this morning just very quickly going over 7 things we can do as we pray for one another. That way we can get on the same page and we can pray to God as a group. And we'll see him start doing things. First of all, pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. Truly care about the concerns you're bringing to God. Pray with emotion. When's the last time you've talked to God with emotion? He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear even your emotion. Empathize with people's problems, what they're struggling with, the pain that they're going through, the struggles they have. Learn to love the people you're praying for so that you'll truly care and pray from the heart. And mean what you say, even though you're not sure you're being completely accurate. You know, the reality is many times we don't know the situations that we're praying about. We know there's a need, but we don't know all the ins and outs, and that's fine. God does. And we're promised the Spirit helps us in our prayers. Amen? Pray from the heart, but allow God's Spirit to direct you. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, we see an example of a heartfelt prayer with Hannah. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. Can you imagine praying a prayer that is so heartfelt that somebody who sees you believes you're drunk? That's what was going on here. But she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, she says, because I asked the Lord for him. Pray from the heart when you pray for each other. Number 2, pray regularly. Needs are regular, aren't they? Temptations never stop. Satan never completely goes away. Needs are constant. Just like you need Christians praying for you regularly, they need you praying for them regularly. Pray predictably. You ever have somebody at work come up to you and say, "Hey, I need your prayers. Can you pray for this situation?" Or maybe somebody in your family who doesn't know God or really hasn't gone to church very much, but they know you do and they know you pray, and they come to you and they say, "Can you pray for me?" That's great when that happens. It's great. What an awesome example when people know that you pray regularly. Keep doing it. And if you haven't been praying regularly, start that now. When we pray to God regularly about our needs and the needs of the people we love, it changes our lives. It will give us peace and understanding in a way we've never experienced. And when you go to God with a heartfelt prayer, you'll come away with a peace. You may not know all the answers, but he provides peace in prayer. Pray regularly. Also, pray in detail. Whatever you know about the situation, lay it out there before God. He already knows it all anyway, right? You know, sometimes we may not know very many details. I may not know more than just, hey, Rob looked a little sad this morning. Be with him, God. God knows the details, though. But as we pray with detail, I think it helps us keep our focus on our prayer. And it also helps us keep our focus when we see God working in those situations. Pray to God in detail. Number four, pray with faith. Jesus says in Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. If you have doubts, and we all have doubts, right? If you have doubts, don't be afraid to talk to God about it. He already knows anyway. We can't hide our doubts from God. Don't try to bury it. Don't pretend like it doesn't happen, but talk to God about your doubts. Let him help you through those. Trust God completely when you talk to him. Pray with faith. Number five, pray with love. Now the reality is, Christians don't always do everything in love, do we? No, we don't. Sometimes we blow it, right? And the world sees that. But when we pray with love. You know, the love of Christ should be in every aspect of our lives, even when we're going down the road and there's a slow person in the fast lane, right? But pray with love. Let God's love be in your thoughts and your feelings and your words and the things you do. And remember, love is sacrifice. Jesus says, love as I have loved you. He was the ultimate example of love and sacrifice. When we decide to pray for somebody, it may require sacrifice. It may require us to pray the same prayer repeatedly. It may require us to pray a long period of time before we see God answer the concern. Be willing to do that. And be willing for your prayers to take you places you thought you might never be. Love as Christ has loved you. That may mean stepping out in your prayer lives in ways you never have. Number six, pray fervently. Fervent. Y'all like that word, fervent? I remember as a kid growing up, I thought it was some farming word. I wasn't sure what fervent meant. Fervent means to do something or display something with a passionate intensity. When is the last time that you've prayed with passionate intensity? Think about that. The prayer of Jesus in the garden, that was a fervent prayer. That was a passionate, intense prayer. In James 5:16, Jared read this for us. The New King James Version says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray with passionate intensity for each other. And number seven, pray to have the desire to help. We talked about this in the teen class this morning. We talked about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, we're told, helped because he took pity on the man. That means compassion. Compassion isn't just saying, oh, I feel bad about that. That's worldly compassion. That's a good thing. But godly compassion says, yeah, I feel bad about that, and I'm going to do something about it. And that's what you see the Good Samaritan do when he helps the man who's been robbed and beaten and left for dead. We got to be willing to get up off of our prayer knees and get into the game and help when we see a need. It means sending cards, texts, emails, calling somebody, visiting them, showing them that we care. If they're lonely, being there. If they're discouraged, help encourage them. Don't just tell folks you're praying for them, but pray in your own life that God will stir in you the desire to take advantage of the opportunities to help. Pray with the desire to help. You know, when somebody's struggling and they need something, I'm sure they appreciate hearing that we're praying for them. But that doesn't put food on the table that night necessarily. But we may have the opportunity to be the person who does. Look for those opportunities. Realize that as we pray for others' needs, God may be telling us, Matt, you're the answer to this because I'm going to work through you. Be willing to take those opportunities to reach out and pray with the desire to help others. You know, nothing I've shared here today has been very deep or comprehensive, but that's okay. Because when you talk about prayer, sometimes we all need reminded of what it is we're supposed to do. You know, prayer is an awesome privilege. It's an awesome opportunity. And we have a way to make a difference in the lives of people by calling on God and helping us focus on Him as the one who makes things happen. You know, we see all kinds of examples in Scripture of people interceding for other people in prayer. Abraham interceded for Sodom. Daniel repented for the people of Israel. Peter prayed for Dorcas to come back to life. And of course, all over the New Testament, Paul is praying prayers of intercession for all kinds of people, isn't he? I want us to talk for a moment about Moses and Israel. On more than one occasion, the people of Israel messed up, didn't they? They messed up. They were people who were selfish, narcissistic. They failed to trust God. They failed to be faithful to God. They were people that sound a lot like me a lot of the times, right? They knew God had freed them from slavery. They knew God had parted the Red Sea, and they walked through not even on mud, but what? Dry land. They saw that. But then they make a golden calf, and then they begin to doubt. If it hadn't been for Moses' continued faith and his continued intercession for the people of Israel, where would they have been? I often wonder about that. You know, in his book, Stories for the Journey, William White talks about a European Bible professor and his wife. During World War II, they were able to escape to America. And the man gets a job teaching at an American Bible college. His name is Hans, and his wife's name is Enid. Well, the students in America loved Hans. They loved his classes. They loved his spirit. He was the professor everybody loved. And they loved watching Hans and Enid because they were so in love, even though they were up in years, and they would commonly be seen walking all over campus holding hands, very dedicated to one another. One day, Enid unexpectedly passed away. And it was a shock to everybody, especially Hans. And when she died, Hans went into a deep state of depression. And the president of the Bible college and some other people on staff there, they went to visit Hans. And he was very lonely and he was very depressed. And he told him, I'm not able to pray to God anymore. In fact, I'm not even sure that I believe in God. Well, there was an awkward, silent moment. And the president of the college said, then let us believe for you, and we will pray for you. For the next several weeks, the four men met every day at Hans's apartment, and they prayed for Hans, and they asked Hans to experience God's presence again, to trust him, to heal him. Months later, the four men show up to pray with Hans, and he greets them at the door with a smile, and he tells them, it is no longer necessary for you to pray for me. Instead, I want you to pray with me. Charles Bent says, intercessory prayer might best be defined as loving our neighbor on our knees. You know, in our efforts to pray for each other, we need to spend time praying with each other. And we get to do that here at church. We get to do that in Bible classes. You guys do that at small groups. It's something that is very powerful, very effective. And when we can sit down with our brothers and sisters and pray for them and pray with them, that's powerful, isn't it? And we're to do it. As we pray for people, seek the wisdom of God. Seek the peace of God in their lives and in their situations. Considerate Christians are to pray for one another. We want to pray from the heart. We want to pray regularly. We want to pray in detail. We want to pray with faith. We want to pray with love. We want to pray fervently. And we want to pray that God gives us the desire to help. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, it all starts with becoming a child of God. It all starts with coming to Jesus and repenting of your sins and being buried in the waters of baptism, where you come in contact with His blood, the only blood that can save you. That blood washes your sins away. And you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit that will dwell in your heart. This Spirit that helps you when you pray, helps you when you speak, helps you as you go through your walk in life and seek to do God's will. You come up out of that water with that gift. If you've never taken that step, do that right now. The Creator of the universe, God, wants you saved. And He wants you to be home with Him forever. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you've lost sight of your walk, or you need help, or the prayers of the church, whatever the need might be, that's what we're here for. We're here to uplift and encourage each other. We're here to praise God. We're here to meet needs. And we'll do anything we can for you. If there's anyone here that has a need this morning, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.